We'll go ahead and get started. At least we'll go ahead and try and get started. It's good to see all of y'all here. It's good to be together as a family and try and think about things that matter to us. Try and share a dialogue on issues that concern us. Think about how can we best serve our Lord. How can we best honor and glorify Him? And there's just a lot of goodness in the body. Part of what's a little bit odd is seeing familiar faces, but in different seats than you're normally in. You know, it's not like when you're standing up front and you know where everybody is.
And Sammy's still got his same seat.
Sammy and Rita are still in the same, and James is still in the same place. But it's good. It is good to be together. We'll start with a word of prayer and ask Tom, if you will, to lead us there.
Let's pray together. Father, I just consider it an honor to be here with my brothers and sisters. Father, I consider it a great honor to be here with you because you are alive in their hearts. They have claimed you as their Savior, Father. And so as my family, it's an honor for me to be here. Father, we have enjoyed the reputation that you have created among this body of being a loving, welcoming, accepting group of believers. Father, we're thankful that you have created that. Father, we pray that would be just what we are today, that we do love one another. Father, help us to be good listeners today, Father. Help us to be good talkers on both parts that we will play as speakers and listeners. May we hear one another. May we honor you. May we honor one another. Father, as shepherds, we have read and just shared together Paul's words to the Ephesian elders for them to look after themselves and for them to look after the flock. Father, we have taken that seriously, and we stand before you, and we stand before our family and friends here, which are both, and that we do take that seriously, and ask you to continue to be at work within us and within this body, Father, as we pursue you, as we grow and our love for the lost, our love for the saved, and our love for your body, Father, we look forward to joining you at home someday. We pray this through Jesus. Amen.
So in our time together tonight, there's no set rules for how a family meeting goes. I don't know of any scripture or verses that lay out, here's the order, and here's how you do it exactly. But intent is that we just want to share hearts from a perspective of a common love for our God and Savior, and a common love for each other, and for the folks of this community, and sort through how best we can honor Him, how best we can serve Him. There'll be, from a context standpoint, let me hit just a couple of the topics that we're going to try and cover this evening up front, just from a roadmap kind of standpoint. But we'll start out spending a bit of time, whatever time we need, on a central topic of just sharing our sense as shepherds, as elders, of where we are as a body, of what we see as our good and bad points, if you will, the areas that we encourage and want to continue, in the areas where we think we need to change or need to grow in a different way. We'll take some time to talk about how we're trying to address those, how we're trying to work from our strengths and from our weaknesses to be the folks that God would have us to be in this community and in this place and time. And there's room through that discussion to have dialogue and discussion about what does that mean? You know, we don't have all the answers by any means. I think anybody who's been around us before knows that we don't have it all figured out and have all the answers, but we have a lot of faith in God to help us know how to work together and try and lead us through what would honor Him and how to best reach out. Then there are a handful of items that are more short-term in nature, just near-term kind of things that are worth touching on and talking about, whether it's our the status of our ministers or whether it's about upcoming Super Bowl gathering or other things like that, just to touch on. And there's opportunity for other topics that we wouldn't have thought of that are on your minds to be brought up. So that's kind of the lay of the land, or at least the flow that we expect to go through. Does that make sense overall? We kind of launch into the discussion of our sense of where we are and where we're going, if you will. We've talked over months, probably over years, but in particular over months in a fairly intense way of trying to understand where we are as a body and where we need to be headed, how we can best serve God. And those discussions have been insightful and good, and a struggle at times as we've tried to compare our sense and listen to God's leading and seek His will along the way. But in those discussions, there's some things that come out as real strengths of this fellowship and of this body, and those are worth acknowledging and recognizing. There's things that aren't surprises, I expect, to anybody in this gathering, but part of the strength that we see in this body is just the loving and merciful and graceful way in which this body is open to anyone who's a seeker of God, and especially to folks who are in hard places or who are hurting or have gone through difficult times, or folks who might not feel welcome or at home in other settings. This body's got a heritage of being open and loving and accepting in that manner, and probably every one of us could name multiple personal situations you know of where you've seen that occur, and there are several of us that have felt it firsthand, and that means a lot. That's a really good thing. There's another strength that's a part of who we are, and it comes in part from being an open and loving and merciful kind of group of folks. It's that our body is not all cut from the same piece of fabric. Our body are not all out of the same mold and stamped out like a cookie cutter. We've got folks within our fellowship from all sorts of backgrounds, and we've got folks in our number who have a long heritage and might go back many generations saying that they were part of such and such a church family, and we've got folks that their family has no connection with churches over time, and they've come to seek God and find a place here. We've got folks that come out of different backgrounds and traditions in how to worship who come here. And that diversity, I think, is a strength of this body in a lot of ways. I wonder at times what heaven will be like. You know, and I think about heaven as being a place that's going to have a lot of different folks of all sorts of backgrounds, all sorts of heritages, if you will, folks that have gone through the worst difficulties and struggles that you can imagine, and folks that have lived lives that just seem to be full of blessing the whole way through, folks of all kinds of forms. But I think God in heaven has a diversity that's far greater than what we've got here, if you will. And I look forward to that. In a lot of ways. But I appreciate the diversity we have here, because there are people in this body that, for each of us, and from the diversity that's just here in the eldership, there are viewpoints that I would have never thought of, perspectives I would have never considered, and needs I would have never recognized were it not for the various folks that are represented here and what you bring to bear. And the other piece of that diversity that really matters is when you think about being Christ to the community, When you think about being able to reach out and touch the community, the kind of diversity that we have and can have makes more places where members of the community around us can connect. They'll find folks here that you can relate to, people that have had similar struggles or similar challenges or come from different backgrounds. There's goodness there in being able to be in the world. When Paul talked about becoming all things to all people, that by some means he could save some, there's a flavor of that within Forest Mill and the diversity we bring, and I appreciate that. We appreciate the fact that there are a number of really effective ministries that go on out of here. We're not perfect. We're far from perfect in lots of ways, but there are some really effective ministries that are at work, and whether it's Upward or Celebrate Recovery or the prison ministry or benevolence programs that have gone on for years or outreach in different ways, there are some things that are good and open doors and open hearts and in some positive ways and making connection that might not have been there otherwise into this community. So we see those as strengths and as goodness within this body that we appreciate a great deal and appreciate the folks in this room and the folks who come through from time to time and make those things happen, because it's not us that make those kind of things happen. But when we reflect on the body further, there are weaknesses that we see within it, issues that concern us that we feel compelled to try and deal with or address or recognize and work towards fixing it in the right word, but trying to come to terms with how can we move forward, how can we work those issues in a way that does honor God and glorify Him. One of those that's been present for some time in our body is our body has a come and go kind of nature to it. It's easy for people to come in the door, and we're thankful for that, but it's easy for people to go out the door without ever becoming really engaged or without ever being challenged. And there's so many that we have opportunity to plant their roots into the gospel and plant their roots into God's word and into ministry that for whatever reasons we aren't doing that as effectively as we'd like to. And we feel a need to be more about that, about making those connections, about as folks have that interest and have that desire to come be a part of this, we want to make that connection that connects them to our Lord from then throughout eternity. So we would like to do that better. We think a different kind of weakness we have, a different kind of issue that we need to be focused on addressing, is reaching the unchurched who are in this area. And by unchurched, it's just meaning to say people who don't have a connection with our God, people who aren't in any kind of relationship with God. And as you think about how many people live within driving distance of this place who never see a need to call on our Lord or never appreciate the blessings that He can give or the comfort or insight, there's thousands of folks out there that we have an opportunity, a possibility of being able to interact with, to reach, to encourage, whether it's in the confines of this building or through our example in the community or through just stopping by their house or helping them, visiting when they're in the hospital. There's a lot of folks that have a need for our Savior as desperately as we have a need, but it's not being fulfilled. And to the extent that we could do better there, we seek to do better towards that end. We believe that there is a real need. Programs like CR, Upward, the prison ministry, all help towards that end. But when you think about the magnitude of the number, just sheer number of folks that are out there who are in that kind of situation, who need our Lord, that we're not reaching, we're missing a lot. We're missing a lot even still. A third area that we fall short in, we believe, is in reaching the next generation of folks that could be part of this body. Ray and I were talking with a young man yesterday. It was at Ed White's funeral. The young man was Mark Bell, and many of you know Mark from his growing up, son of Kenneth and Nobeline in the community. Mark is now a deacon over a part of the youth ministry up at Brentwood Hills Church of Christ in Nashville. And Mark was just he made the comment that 89% of the folks that grow up in the church leave the church when they get to that transition out of high school and towards adulthood, whether it's college age years or what, it's hard to say exactly. I don't know whether it's 89% exactly or not, but you know, over time, Sid has shared in sharing his heart with us numerous studies that aren't just anecdotal kind of evidence, but are real pragmatic looks at the church as we know it across America, not just here. And they speak of a significant majority of the youth who grow up within the church not staying connected in a relationship to God. And that's heartbreaking. You know, if there's something that we cannot accept, that's one of those things that we can't just say, that's okay, or that's just the way it is. As much as anything else, I think our role, whether it's in the church family or in the families we represent as part of this family, our role is to try and share that faith. And perhaps the best opportunity is with our own children and with the children that we come into contact with. And we want to do a better job there. We want to do it in a way that when we're all gone, that there's a strong, vibrant faith that remains behind. And it's not because of us, it's because of God working in those folks. And to the extent that we can make that work better, we want to make that happen. So I've mentioned three things that we've got weaknesses in. There are two more I'm going to mention. I've talked about this sense of the come-and-go nature of our body, the sense of reaching the unchurched or trying to hang on to the next generation. A different one than that, and it's hard to know just how to express it, but as I think about this assembly and as I look at the faces that are here, many of us are cut from a similar cloth to some extent. I think again about heaven and what that will be like, and I think that in heaven there could be folks from all sorts of races, of ethnic backgrounds, all sorts of diversity that's different than we have here. And I just have to wonder about the folks in our community who need our Lord and Savior. What is it about our body that doesn't make it broader in who we are than it is? Is there something about the way I am involved in faith and religion that is shutting a door to people who live in this community that God wants in His kingdom? You know, I don't claim to understand that fully by any means, but I really believe at my core that God wants all of His family, all of His children, to be connected. And I think that to the extent that we can make this body be a proven ground, a trial ground, an example as best we can of what might be in heaven, I think we'll be better off for doing that. So there's some outreach that we seem, for whatever reason, not to be engaged in. And there are opportunities there. Last thing in terms of areas that we're concerned about as shepherds is the sense there's and I'll use the term selfishness, that there is a sense of selfishness that I have as much as anybody in this. It's not trying to point fingers, if you will. We share in this issue, but I like things to be done my way, if you will. And there are times that I love a process or I love a tradition more than I love my brother or my sister, it seems. At least that's the way it can come across from the way I act at times. And that nature of sometimes getting confused about how much do I love my brother and my sister versus how much am I concerned about my way of things, that doesn't glorify God. It doesn't. And it's something for me, and I think for each of us, to sort through and to think about. I appreciated, go back to Ed White's funeral again yesterday. Part of the discussion there was just recognition of how much of the time he went out of his way to try and look out for the interest of others. That was a good example. I think that's what's lived out by Jesus. About his very nature was to come to this earth and look out after each one of us, even though we were being hurtful to him. And to the extent that I could be more like that, that each of us could be more like that, I think we'll be better off. And we seek to move in that direction. It's our common belief as shepherds that if we don't address the weaknesses that we've got, the strengths that we have are going to go away. We don't think we can continue in a vein of not reaching out or not catching the next generation or not trying to take the unchurched who are around us and bring them into God's fold. We don't think we can ignore those needs and be a loving body in years to come, or a merciful place, or a safe refuge, or have programs that are effective and are working in those years to come. So it's that kind of sense that has led us to this compelling belief that we need to try and do things better, if you will. We need to try and do a better job of serving God and of following His will. I don't know exactly what form or shape that looks like. We talk back and forth about how does that look, and it looks different ways to different folks along the way. But we also recognize, along with the need to try and change and adapt to meet the needs that we see around us, we also recognize that doing things that would divide this body or cause strife or cause just unneeded defocusing, take our eyes off Jesus, those aren't going to help either. So if we're leading in a way, or if we are pushing things in a way that take people's time and energy and attention off our God, we're hurting there, not doing that well. So our commitment is a commitment to try and lead and try and move forward and address the needs that we see before us in a way that maintains the unity of this fellowship and keeps it as a stable and safe place, but not ignore the needs of the next generation or the needs of the unchurched or reaching out in the community. That to some extent says that we want change, but not the radical change that destabilizes us. That kind of discussion is a hard discussion to have. It's hard to figure out, well, how do you change and reach out to those folks that we see needs about without really turning topsy-turvy what's going on here and breaking the things that work really well. As shepherds, it'd be great for us to say that we know the answer, and it'd be great for us to be able to say we've got the plan, and we just don't. We just don't have that plan and answer in terms of well, here are the four things we need to work, and it's going to take care of it all. What we do know, and what we are committed to, is this common love for God and common love for the folks that are here, And for the folks we don't know that aren't here as well, we know that that's present. And we know in the midst of our diversity, we are able to move forward with love and with respect and appreciation that even though there are times that I'll say something that Tom or Ray or Jerry or Dan or will just have plenty of reason to roll their eyes and know that I'm just out in left field once again, that there's a willingness among that group, our group, to say we're gonna work through this, and we love each other in a way and love our God enough to keep on pressing and to keep on listening to those different perspectives and trying to get there. Our efforts at times can seem like a real struggle, and at times it's not fun. You know, there are times I wish I just knew, do this thing and you got it done. But there's, I think, a reason that God may have left out of the Bible that exact cookbook recipe for how church is supposed to be. And I think part of that reason for it not being there is the sense that it's up to us. It's up to us to go with open hearts before Him and bow down and seek His will and figure out, how do we get along? How do we work together? How do we build each other up? How can we get out of what I want, what the way I want to have it, and have a fellowship that moves my brother and my sister and my neighbor, or the folks I don't know, move them closer to heaven and make their position more secure towards that. If we can do that, we'll be doing good. We'll be doing really good along the way. So that's a little bit of the context of where we are, and of the sense that there are a lot of good things here, a lot of things we're really thankful for, but there are some things that we believe we need to be doing better and we need to be working at. And some of them are just compelling. There are things that we can't walk away from and can't ignore. We don't believe that that's right. We don't believe that that's honoring our God. Over the last months, as we've tried to think about, well, how can we better address some of those needs? How can we better reach out to folks that are unchurched? Or how can we make our services more relevant for the folks that are here and for the folks that are yet to come? How can we make this be a place where the next generation wants to be and wants to be connected to God? We've gone down a couple of different paths in trying to sort through that. One of those was to ask some folks to serve on a worship committee, as many of you are aware of, and we tried to get a variety of inputs and discussion and dialogue about how could we make our services more relevant. How could we make them connect us all to our God? As you've listened and heard us speak about this GROW concept, the concept of focusing first on God and then on relationships and then on obedience or discipleship and then on work or service, that started with our focus on God. We believe that's what draws us towards commonplace from our diverse backgrounds. And to the extent we can improve that, we want to, because that's the direction I need to go, is towards Him. That's the one direction that we can go together and meet up, if you will. So the worship committee talked about a number of different opportunities and ways to think about that. They came to bring forward back to us, and we brought to a ministry leaders meeting a proposal that had a couple of options in that. One was for having two services, one of which would be a more contemporary style, though none of us really cared for that term. It would be of a little bit different sort. One was of a more traditional style. We listened with feedback that was given from that, and that was a stumbling point, or it hit some issues that were held as matters of faith by different folks within our body in different ways. And it touched on that zone where to some there was goodness and excitement and a welcome opportunity there, and for others it seemed to be crossing lines that were in the category of matters of faith and areas of conscience that we are not trying to push people across, if you will. We are not trying to cause anyone here to violate their conscience or to do something that you think is wrong from God's Word perspective. But boy, we do want to have dialogue about what God's Word says. We want to have the dialogue about what would be pleasing to Him and sort through what parts of that do we need to be taking the opportunity and advantage of to meet these needs that we aren't meeting. I appreciate Tommy and what he's done in recent months and others along the way to help try and work a flow in our worship service and try and make things more on a theme at times, or to bring the times that I know Joe on occasion has brought words at the Lord's Supper that tied in with the lesson that had a common thread through it that are good things to do, and they're opportunities to continue to explore things that won't cross lines of conscience, but that will, I think, help make our worship service more relevant and meaningful. And we want to be open to those. I don't want to be in a position where my preference is blocking somebody else from being connected to God in a way that's going to matter in eternity. And a matter of faith I want to talk about. But when it's just my preference, and some of the things are just my preference, I don't think any of us want our desires in that way to end up blocking folks. So we've gone down that discussion. We're at a point now that's not that much different in some ways from the conversation that goes on when your family gets in the car and sorts through where you're going to eat tonight. And that's too simple, and I don't mean to be a trite in ways, but you've been part of that conversation before, haven't you? Where you need something. You've got to make a choice along the way. And in our family, those discussions can be ones where I sure would like to eat something besides pasta because I've had it the last 5 days, or I sure would like such and such. And you talk back and forth, and you sort through, well, where is that common ground for the folks that are in that car to be able to go and eat together? There have been a few times in my family where folks have been dropped off at different places. That's not our intent. That's not our desire to be in a position of dropping folks off, if you will. But there's a consideration to be given along the way, too, of saying, I care about you and I love you and I want what's best for you. And even though that's not my favorite place, let's go there tonight. And I know you're going to have some generosity in the future back the other way, if you will. So there's some of that dialogue going on. I say that in part to say there's got to be ongoing discussion through this body of where we're going to eat. There's got to be ongoing dialogue of how we can worship, of how we can serve, and how we can honor our God. And don't, if you will, I encourage you not to take that as a really scary thing that we haven't picked one restaurant for life. If you will, count it as an opportunity to see how can we minister to the folks in this room more effectively, and how can we minister to the folks outside more effectively. How can we present opportunities and choices that are going to deepen faith and bring folks closer? It's over a year ago, maybe two, Daryl suggested one morning an idea about a garden of prayer service. And when he suggested that and said he had done that elsewhere, that didn't strike a nerve with me at all in terms of something positive. That just seemed different than anything I'd been a part of, really. And I was uneasy with it. I was uneasy with it, but there was good discussion and dialogue about it. There's scriptural basis for the shepherds praying with folks from the flock. There weren't matters of personal faith or conscience that seemed to be violated by going down that path and exploring it. And it looked like a way that we might reach needs that we weren't meeting in terms of praying with folks about things that were going on in their lives in a meaningful way. And so we went down that path. And it changed my mind going through it the first time in terms of the folks and the needs that were brought forward before our Lord in a precious kind of way. There are things that nobody's brought up perhaps before as opportunities in this body, and there are things that maybe have been brought up and we've not thought about that much. Like that, or other things I don't have any clue about that are worth us talking about and worth us seeing if they can be helpful. So we want to be part of that ongoing dialogue, if you will. Tonight is a part of it, but weeks and months ahead, as things we will do won't work. You know, there'll be things we'll try, and they just won't. They won't. They might have been a great idea when we thought of them, but in practice, well, that's happened to me so many times. You know, it just doesn't work right. Let me pause there. That kind of sense of commitment of love, commitment of wanting to connect with folks in this body, with that next generation within our church. Let me pause there. I don't know if there's things I've missed along that way that needed to be shared, or our feedback or discussion. Are there things in there that trouble you or give you pause? Part of what was proposed in that ministry leaders meeting was a possibility of looking at either reshaping this service in a way that would be the normal Sunday morning worship service. I'll try and be specific. In a way that had much more of an outreach kind of flavor, openness flavor. There are things we do, traditions that we follow that when you've grown up in a Church of Christ or been part of it, they make perfect sense. But if you've never been in church and come in off the street, if you will, and this is your first service, you don't necessarily connect to nearly as well as we may, if you will. We folks that have been here for years, we're kind of tuned in to know what to expect and can fold into that worship. But the folks that haven't necessarily been part of that heritage don't do so well, or it's harder for them to understand what's this leading to. We miss opportunities. So thought about restructuring the current service to connect in a better way, or having a separate service, separate from that first service, that would connect in a different way. We didn't define what all would be in that. It was not defined as to exactly what that would look like or what shape it would take. But the thinking was that it would leave one service that for folks that preferred where we have been for some years would look more like that, and a service that was more of an outreach kind of service. And there are better ways to say it than I just said it, but that was kind of what was thought of. And general feedback we got from folks was, like I said, it was a mixture of feedback. Some very much in favor of doing it and interested. Some that were fearful of what that might hold and that it might violate elements of their faith and their conviction. And, you know, when folks raise up matters of faith or conviction to them, it's not our desire or intent to push folks across that boundary or to do things that are going to violate that. For us as a tradition, there are a couple of those, and I'll go ahead and mention those as they come up. One of them has to do with the use of instrumental music in the service, or the role of women in a worship service like that. we're not at a place where we are proposing or pushing crossing that barrier in our Sunday morning assembly. And that's where we are at this point. Does that mean we don't continue to have dialogue about how can we reach out to folks? Dialogue and looking at God's word won't end, but there are tenets of our heritage that are matters of faith for some in our body in a way that we're not about trying to turn over and tear. We don't want to tear this body apart. We really don't want to do that. But that was some of the thinking. The comment was if there were two services and one's of one type and one's of a different type, that nobody's forced to change their beliefs or to cross that line. But the sense that we have, at least from deep-held convictions by some of our body, is that there's some elements of the heritage of this fellowship that we need to preserve. And those are among those elements or boundaries that we struggle with at times, but we want near term for the stability of this fellowship to recognize or deal with appropriately. Y'all help if I'm saying it wrong.
Well, I think we walk a fine line here, because the three major outreaches that we use in this body, youth ministry, Upward, and Celebrate Recovery, all use instrumental praise worship things. And so we bring people in through those methods, and we don't use that here. So it is a little bit of a disconnect for an outreach-based thing. And so, I mean, we talk through all this, and we walk that line, and to bring that into a Sunday morning service like we have here, we would never dream of that, to interrupt what is going on in here on Sunday morning. That's not even what we've even talked about or what we've looked at. But that is part of the struggle that we have, because we've seen those modes of outreach to be very fruitful, and to look for a way that we could, as a body, come to a place to be able to use more methods of outreach to continue to feed those outreaches, and at the same time be very
sensitive of,
to this body that we all love deeply. And so the sensitivity is here for us. And so I think that's part of the journey that we've been on. And part of the work that the worship committee did was that, we just don't feel like that any significant changes like that this body would want or would stand for. And so our sensitivity that has brought us to the place that we have. That we're not thinking about crossing any lines of violation there, but we at one time thought that it would be a good choice for us to have a couple of different options, two or more, for people to choose and not have to violate any conscience or violate any faith. And so that's where we have been. But for us to address the weaknesses that I think David has pointed out, they're real. I don't think we can argue with any of those weaknesses. Do we want to keep on nurturing those weaknesses, or do we want to do something about those things? It would seem that, as we've talked, that either go to maybe a couple of different venues of bringing people in, or to bring some change into this assembly that would not cross the two major boundaries that I think that our tradition holds, and that's instrumental music and the role of women in church. So we seem to be left with, and that's just part of change. That's just part of us addressing these weaknesses is the Sunday morning assembly. That's only a part of it. But it seems to be where we have an opportunity to look at, because this is where we introduce Jesus to how we worship that was our intention, and as we look at addressing those weaknesses, the options are pretty limited, you know, if we use this venue as one of our venues for addressing those weaknesses. So, can I speak out of question about it?
Phyllis asked, have we thought of gospel meetings? And we have in the past had different kinds of meeting formats, if you will. It's been several years. I don't know when the last, quote, gospel meeting was held in a traditional sense here, but we've had different conferences or different selected speakers to carry a series or have a weekend that was focused on marriage or things like that. And we're open to opportunities that could reach out in a better way. It's not nearly as effective as it once was. I mean, some are, but the traditional gospel meeting format that I might have seen when I was growing up is not nearly as effective in today's population as it seemed to be back then. I think it's more than just a speaker kind of issue. There are different ways that folks find to make connections and relate today, perhaps, than we once did. That's part of our search to try and sort through how do we make those connections. And one path isn't going to work for everybody. I appreciate, in part, the variety here, whether it's CR or Upward or other things, because there are different venues there that give open doors to our community. And I think that's a good thing. And to the extent that we can keep looking for those doors that open into the community and bring people into this fellowship, we're going to be honoring God more by doing that. Other questions or thoughts? We don't have a plan, if you will, that we're about to roll out to do that. We would love for that to occur. We'd love to see that kind of opportunity be fulfilled, where folks have that natural transition and a group of folks of their age who are dealing with the same kind of issues they're dealing with that they connect well with. So, as you see ways that we can make that happen, we welcome those inputs. So we want folks to stay connected. Phyllis's question is why can't a woman be in charge of something like that? And as we've talked about at different times and in different opportunities, the way that we can serve men and women, there are tremendous opportunities for each gender, for both genders to serve and reach out. I married a children's ministry leader along the way, and Linda oversees, if you will, or works within that. I don't know exactly what to say other than yes, ma'am, on occasion. And there are good opportunities there. And when I spoke about the role of women and as we saw that as a matter of faith, we hear it most frequently about the Sunday worship service, about the Sunday morning worship service, and folks look at the scriptures about that. There are different ways that people have interpreted those over time, but a common tenet in our heritage has been that women are not in leadership role in that worship service. That's a piece of how we have worshiped as a family. And it came from folks studying God's word and wanting to please him. We may find out something really different about a lot of things that we've thought over the years in eternity. You know, I might find out all sorts of ways that I thought I was dead right, that I realized that I was dead wrong. But from honoring the tenets of our heritage, we're not proposing to change in any significant way the role of women in the Sunday morning service. But boy, the opportunities to serve, to engage, to work with college age, to work with youth are pretty broad beyond the... It is... Our question is, why don't we bring it up in the Sunday morning forum, if you will? There's two pieces in play. One is the piece that there are opportunities like this, and there are opportunities in our classes and teaching to try and examine what are the scriptures behind that and where we are. But our desire on Sunday morning, to the extent we can, is to make that time together as much a focus on worshiping God as we can, and to the extent we can lessen the focus on us in that time, we want to do that. So the door for dialogue is open, but it's likely not a Sunday morning worship time topic. It's a time for conversations with the shepherds or conversations in classes and other opportunities. John. I don't know if folks, Ivan and folks, did y'all hear what John was? I'm told there are three right here. Thanks. It's like many other situations where I'm blind about things, but.
I feel like we're kind of dancing around things just a little bit, and I think most of you like to talk a little straighter, so I'll do it. I got one right here. And this is with Tom's blessing, so thank you, brother. As we just walked along this path and tried to think about the future, And listening to people, we got folks in our body that an awful lot of our body does not believe that the use of instrumental music in worship is sinful. Now, we got some people that do, but a great number do not. We got a lot of people that think it's not wrong, but it's not their preference. What they want. It's not their heritage. And The thing is, just on that issue, we are your elders. It doesn't matter where you sit on that. We're your elders. we love you. We love each person where you are. And it's a challenge when you've got different points of view to love everybody and lead everybody. And that's sort of what we're faced with, along with the idea of that the world out there thinks our whole discussion about instrumental music is just a little goofy, you know. And so that creates problems too. And so the whole issue is just delicate and difficult. But in walking through this, it just seemed like there were two alternatives. Either we can continue to honor our tradition and just try to work within this service, that there's a way that we can just make it real, is what several people have said. You know, not just a performance, but let's make it real. Let's make it about family. If we can do that and incorporate some things like our garden of prayer, like times where we let folks share, it's powerful when people share their experience. Let's make it family time. If we can do some things like that within our body, and really engaging people, letting people know that more people involved than just the few people that get up front. If we could let our young people come and share things with us, maybe it's a skit or something that they do, things like that, a little outside our comfort zone, but things that where we're family and we share. And we've done that with our younger people. Can we do that? Or for us to move forward, do we have to have a separate service where those things happen? That's sort of the two alternatives we came to. We've heard a tremendous amount of discussion back from people. We don't think we have to do that. That's very concerning to us. It's not our intent to ram something down people's throat. But we do feel like that if we don't do something like that as an outreach, we need to at least be willing to work together to find common ground where we're considerate and loving of each other. Now, that's the history of Forest Mill, is to be that kind of loving church that works together and is considerate of one another, both directions. And as has been expressed several times, our elders, we're just real different. We're all over the place. Well, y'all knew we were different, but we're different from one another. And, you know, to walk through these kind of exercises, this is not the way you want to spend your time, you know, if you're choosing things you want to do. But if we love the kingdom and we love this body, then it's the stuff that God calls us to have to do. And I know it's not easy. I know people don't like to be upset and stirred up. We don't want people to be upset and stirred up, but we have to recognize that we've been called, like Earl talked about this morning, we've been called to something greater than what makes me feel comfortable. And it forces me into being considerate of my brother and others in the world. So that we just felt like we need to let you know where we've been walking. It's not about trying to push a point of view that one of us has or that we want to do, but rather about helping this body move forward and embrace our children, the next generation. And we're sort of faced with that idea. Either some of our folks want to go off and do something separate, or we have to work through this hard process of making changes that we can all live with and finding common ground. My personal belief is we can do that. We can do that work. Your elders, again, are not interested in forcing something through. We need to hear from you. Can we do this together? Can we make those kind of steps and be about embracing our community and one another? And that's the real question, where we are. And we have... Well, he is an instrument. There's no doubt about that. Dave, you want? Oh, you want? Okay.
I think if we would have polled everybody before we started the efforts program, or before we started CR, I don't think everybody would agree. I think, you know, offering a second service is just like CR. We're not pushing it down anybody's throat. It's there if you want it. I don't see how we can, what the rationalization is, that it's because of the time of the week, or the time of the day, we're still praising and worshiping God in CR for what we do, Sunday morning.